This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone, thanks for listening to the award-winning To Hell and Back podcast. I'm your host Nathaniel Witto, and tonight I'm joined by Will, Joe and Ant. We're proudly sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher in Hull. And yeah, it's going to be a pretty fun podcast. It was a good one last time after two consecutive away wins, but now it's three consecutive away wins, all 2-1. Not sure how many of us truly believed we were going to get 3 points, except Will, of course, was a 3-0 prediction away at Southampton, but we did. So, yeah, are we all feeling the, you know, feeling the dream of Wembley come May?
I think 3-0 would have flattered Southampton.
Certainly, yeah.
He could have had three on his own.
Yeah, probably could have. And, I mean, I won't say it, but as Rory is the subject of tonight's podcast title, I would just like to say, even though it was my idea for the Philogene skill maneuver based pun for one of the last episode titles, I don't quite condone the extreme title that we've gone for tonight. So just putting that out there.
Tigers on top on Twitter for the suggestion.
Coward, yes, thanks for Tigers on top. I know I'm a coward.
You're just an innocent young little boy still, aren't you? You don't understand these sort of things.
Yeah, I don't even know why it's rude. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he got his first goal pretty early on. Carvalho added a second, and we pretty much completely dominated, I'd say, definitely the first half, probably the next 20 or so minutes after that, going to the second half as well. 3-0 would have flattered Southampton. We'll just go around the room. Ant, is that the best performance we've had this season and under Lima Senior?
I'd say it was, especially when you consider the calibre of the opposition too. Before, obviously, we'd been there, Southampton had won 9 games on the bounce at St Mary's. They'd just been 20-odd games unbeaten, obviously the loss the other day, but there's still only one loss in nearly 30 games. Oodles of Premier League talent in their squad. You know, they're chasing automatic promotion and they're up there with the Leicester and Leeds of the league. So to go to their ground and put in such a commanding performance for such a duration on the pitch as well. And I mean, we were that convincing that we turned their entire stadium against them quickly. I mean, this is a team that's lost one game in nearly 30 and they were booing their team off at halftime, which tells you everything. So yeah, I think just from the top to literally from the two false nines down to the back four, we were organised, we were pressed, we pressed really well. The passing was accurate, it was intense, we sped it up, it was brilliant, it was really good. Minute 1 to 90, outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe, do you agree?
agree with everything Ant said. I said in my piece last night after the game that that is like, that is to the letter the way Liam Rossini wants to play football in that first half. When we were working the ball forward from the back, it was exactly the way he wants to play, because a team came at us and didn't just sit back, which is not something we see every week. And then on the counter, we were quick, we moved the ball well. And, you know, like we said, it could have been a lot more. Philogene could have had a couple. He could have squared it to Tufan near the end to make it 3-1 right after Southampton scored, which I think had all of us with hearts in mouths thinking, Jaden, if we lose this now, oh my goodness. But he's Jaden Philogene, and what can you do about it? We love him for being that way, so let's not change it. Carvalho was involved, his passing was brilliant. Seri was good. Good game to bring him back in. Good game to rest Morton as well. Zaruri first goal, like I said, he could have had a couple. Omer, by the way, loving him already. Loving him already.
Oh my God, what a player. What a player. Because, I mean, I was just asking, or I wanted to ask, you know, how long before he's going to get his first start. And then, you know, yeah, maybe a bit of a risk playing him, you know, first start away at Southampton, big game. But yeah, he completely delivered. I thought, I mean, Seri, I mean, I know Lee's commented in there that difficult to pick a man of the match. I might go Seri just because of the way he sort of led the press. And even though he's a CDM, was sort of playing as a false nine as well. I mean, and so were the defenders. They got up really high and it just seemed like Southampton didn't know what to do. I'm sure our team's tried to press them before, but you know, not only were we great, they were quite poor as well. So we, you know, we made full took full advantage of that.
I thought Slade was excellent as well, just quickly. I thought he didn't put a foot wrong.
Yeah, absolutely, I'd agree with that. I think we, you know, we've seen in recent weeks that the performances haven't been as good as the results. This one where the result 3 points, but we could have scored more. That's where we want to be, where we're, you know, finally seeing these attacking players sort of really thrive up front. Carvalho's second goal, Zuri's first goal for the club. Are we seeing, you know, hopefully next few weeks, the best of that sort of attacking lineup?
I like Zaruri, but I feel like even in that game, he does everything right and then he's still missing that bit of confidence, I think, to stick the ball in the net. I do think that now he's got his first goal, he'll go from strength to strength now. And like Carvalho said in his post-match interview, that the now that these lads have had you know, a few training sessions together, a few games, they're all starting to understand each other's movements and play styles and where they want the ball and things like that. So those connections will form and we'll probably start to see the best of him. I think with Zaruri, he's just a little bit guilty of overplaying at the minute. He does so well. His performances are good. And sometimes you just think, just pass it there, and he keeps hold of the ball too long. But no, I'm glad I'm got his first goal. I mean, because he's not played badly at all, really, in any games. It's just like we say, he's similar to Philogene, and he wants to take the elaborate approach to his attacking play. And obviously, now he's got his first goal, I think you'll start to see that confidence shine through a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, I don't really know what sort of questions to ask because it's just so overwhelming.
I was waiting for you to go around the table and say, Will, what did you think of it? To be quite
Will,
honest.
What did you think of it?
It was a bit shit, wasn't it, really? I think we should have won by 5 or 6,
Rossini out, yeah.
Yeah. Well, going into the game, it was interesting because I think everyone saw the team sheet and thought, where's the strikers? Interesting, Ohio not on the pitch, not even on the bench. His selection is the reason that Rossini gave. Obviously,
no,
he's playing a false nine, and you're wondering because City, the last few games have needed sort of an outlet up front who's sort of winning the long ball, but went into the game, and it seems we essentially remembered what Swansea did. And decided, you know what, we'll have a go at that ourselves. And our pressing game was just bang on. Southampton couldn't deal with it, and Southampton looked very leggy. I mean, they did have a chance early on when Alsop could have maybe hit it long when he played it short. But outside of that, they didn't really have a sniff until like this proper sniff until like the 70-odd minute. But what can you say about the performance? It was absolutely immense to a man. No one put a foot wrong except for Traore when he came on in the second half. He essentially gave away the ball for their goal. But even that, you can't have too much against him, really. To a man, I think you mentioned Seri. I think, as was mentioned as well, Slater just turned into prime Gattuso for that first half. Just would not let anything pass. But I think the man, if I had to pick a person in particular, it's Louis Coyle. Louis Coyle was absolutely the ultimate sort of captain's performance in that game.
I think playing injured well, too.
Yeah, playing injured. Well, when hasn't Coyle played injured, to be fair?
True.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's always getting knocks because he's so committed to the cause, isn't he?
Yeah, it's usually to his nose.
It usually is his face, which I suppose in a boxing family, maybe he's got a bit of toughness there in the face. But there was a point that was made on Radio Humberside last night as well, and I think it was Mike White who said it. He said, at the time when we played Ipswich and we lost 3-0, everyone was on about it saying that's sort of the benchmark of what City need to do in terms of if they want to improve as a club. And I think last night was essentially us doing that and showing that we are capable of doing that already, which is a massive improvement looking for. And I'm just so happy. It's just such a comfortable, confident performance.
I think, to add to that, I think that's why, even despite winning games, there have been obviously comments where it's like, do you know, the performance levels haven't quite been there because we know what this side's capable of with the amount of attacking talent we've got. And that first 45 minutes at Southampton shows you what this team can do and where the potential is. So if we won 5 out of 6 games, where maybe in 3 or 4 of them we've not played to our best ability, how frightening is it how good this team can get? Do you know what I mean? Like when it all's clear, I think now Seri's back, it's a massive part of this puzzle. I think people don't realise how important Seri is to this system, and the Southampton game proved it. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Seri's average position so high on the pitch. Like he was man to man marking Smallbone. So wherever he went on the pitch, Seri followed, and he did it absolutely brilliantly. I mean, sometimes he was our most advanced player, and his control on the ball. I mean, he was sold short by Allsop for one of the passes, which they almost obviously scored from. But you know, he makes so many passes a game that if Seri makes one poor pass, that's what people choose to highlight. If you're going to make one poor pass out of, like, what is it, probably 60 to 100 passes that he makes in a game. But, you know, the 99% of the time, his passes are crisp, accurate, and he is that cog that links defence to attack and gets us going. And we've missed that in recent weeks. I think Morton struggled trying to take the responsibility of that role in recent weeks, and we'll probably start to see that really good partnership that Seri and Morton had again, hopefully, obviously, come in from the weekend onwards.
I think the game as well showed, obviously, you weren't just that first half. It was a game that showed both sides of City's game, where it showed that we can do that Rossini ball perfectly, but also showed that we still have that defensive grit to be able to take pressure and keep pushing it away. And like I said, their goal came from a mistake. Outside of that, they didn't have many huge chances. They had one or two efforts, but nothing that massively troubled City after that, after the two mistakes of the game, which was the early one where Allsop gave it away and the goal.
Yeah, we defended pretty well. I mean, I think sometimes you see, or we conceded, we didn't get the clean sheet, but when you look at how much pressure Southampton put us, especially just the last few minutes, but you know, City have done that for the last few games now. They're probably used to it, and they're sort of getting back into that sort of a rhythm that we saw at the back end of last season under Rossini, where maybe we're not keeping the clean sheets, but defensively, you know, we're not conceding many goals. It's just one mistake here or there, and we've been a bit unlucky. Southampton was a deflection. Rotherham was a deflection. You know, so these sort of goals, they're going in, but they're not really based on mistakes, whereas when we had that sort of tough period, which hopefully seems that we're beyond, we were conceding goals that were really sloppy, whereas now there's sort of just a bit unlucky on our end. But first win at Southampton since 1951, and Shep said that's the benchmark. I mean, it's a massive result, not just, you know, historically, but for the season. It puts us clearly 3 points ahead of seventh because it was a game in hand.
I put out a tweet saying, like, when we last won in Southampton, we had players like Ray Carr and Billy Bly, Viggo Jensen, even Dom Revy back in the South. How long ago it was? It's just another, it's another world away. It's mental that it took that long.
Nathaniel.
I'm just playing into the whole, oh, Nathaniel's young and doesn't understand anything before 2000.
Even a young child should know that Ray Carr should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know that.
That will, I agree. Every year he's my vote. Every year. Until David Marley gets nominated and then I'm voting for him.
Yeah, but that's the benchmark now, isn't it? We didn't play well against Swansea. We haven't played massively well the last few games. But if we can do that against Southampton, they've got to be at that level for the next games. I mean, the next one against West Brom, then Preston, Birmingham, then it's Leicester again.
I think that's our best tactic, you know. I think that with the attacking talent that we've got, if you can start games with that intensity and just literally try and score two or three goals, get yourselves in front, then you can kind of afford to sit back the second half with, you know, when you've got tired legs and whatnot. The problem's been in recent weeks that we go 1-0 up and then just kind of take our foot off the gas. We don't force the issue and try and score a second goal to kill it off. We're happy to sit on a 1-0 and then, you know, when you're just defending for 45 minutes, one lapse of concentration, one lucky goal, that's it. Your win's gone. But if you're two or three ahead, it's harder to bring back, like it showed at Southampton. I just think we should just be held for leather for 45 minutes and then just get out of sight and hold it off. But obviously, football's not that simple. I mean, you look at the players we've got, Cavalier, Philogene, Zarori. If we'd have had the lap in this team, I mean, just, you know, the potential is insane. Omer looks an absolute acquisition as well. Go on, Joe.
We might still have the lap in this team yet.
We might have him for a couple of games at the end of the season, yeah, which might be very vital.
Or blitz the playoffs. Easy. Easy. Well, it won't be easy, but yeah. I mean, I said last episode just before the game that we're in a good position. We're in an even better position now. I mean, it's going to be very tough, but I mean, I joke about it being 9-0 or 8-0 or whatever. I said I didn't really believe in them, but I think the fact... Yeah, but the only bad thing about the game was that we didn't win by more when we're playing away at Southampton. We've had that great sort of unbeaten run, which kind of ended recently, but yeah, pretty incredible.
Won 12 in a row at home though, so there was still an immense run at home.
Yeah, crazy. Lee Walker saying automatic promotion still possible. It's still possible
if we win every game because we've got to play the teams above us still
mathematically, so maybe
impossible.
That
is daring to dream.
You're going to predict that we're going to win every single last game. So, yeah. We've got to believe in them, haven't we? We've got to believe in them. I mean, I think if we had to Liam Delap, or just, you know, we were complaining that Ahia wasn't playing, Sharp wasn't playing. If we had a striker that was fit, I mean, hopefully Connie's probably going to be back quite soon, then, yeah, I think this team could get better and better. But I agree that. Because we tried to do that against Millwall, we should have had a few more. Did that against Southampton. Hopefully, we can start getting these games off a bit early, because winning by one goal can be a bit stressful. I think it was it the Cardiff game, December last time we won a game by more than one goal. So it's not good for the heart. But I mean, Lee Walker says 13 games to go left to dare to dream. Hopefully, 16. Joe, what are your thoughts on whether we're going to get playoffs or not? I did a poll, I think about 85% after Southampton said they believe. So how are we looking after, you know, the game?
What I'll say is, beat West Brom, we give ourselves every chance. A result against Preston around us, Coventry around us, we need to make sure that if they take points off us, we take points off them as well and just draw, even it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fine. You know, we've still got to play. Looking at the table, we've still got Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich to play. One of the three I care about more than the other two. And Yes, of course, always. Love Sonny Aluko.
Always.
But being serious, let's be honest. We all know it's the Leeds game. And that's one that because it's Leeds, we'll want to go to their place and we'll want to win it. And if we do that,
the place that they're unbeaten at still all season would be a terribly Hull City thing to do, to go there and win, to be fair.
Traoré, last minute winner.
Oh my, that's his redemption. I'd forgive him. I'd forgive him for that miss.
I would absolutely forgive him. I think we've put ourselves in a brilliant position at the minute, and I think we're only going to get stronger as Seri coming back in, as Delap gets closer to fitness, and hopefully we get him back, Connolly getting back to full fitness. I think, like I say, I think we've given ourselves every chance.
Yeah, and we had to make that game in hand pay. And I mean, I about a month ago when I was saying that we were in a good position, or just a few weeks ago, I think early this month, that then we have the game in hand because of the FA Cup situation. I think, I was feeling quite confident, but now they've actually gone and properly won it, got that 3-point buffer. It's not as many as it should be, but yeah, I think West Brom's going to be another massive game. Will, just how massive is the West Brom game? Is it? Is it just 13 cup finals till the end of the season?
Well, you have to treat every game as it arrives, don't you, really? It's the only way to properly do it. But it is going to be massive. It would have been, if, obviously he's asking a lot, if Plymouth had held West Brom in midweek, there was a chance technically to go 4 points clear of West Brom, which would have been mental, thinking about a week ago before we were playing Rotherham. But it's a chance to solidify our position in the playoffs and create a gap between us and not necessarily a gap between us and West Brom, but a gap between us and seventh place, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, that's 3 points. And I mean, of course, we'll go above West Brom, that'll be good. But yeah, that's the one we want to look at.
Our goal difference is decent, but it seems like Norwich have just an infinitely better goal difference. Coventry as well. We need to up our goal difference a lot more to sort of steady ourselves.
Mm-hmm. We discussed this the other night, though, didn't we? It's, you know, if we keep winning games, though, that will only naturally
increase. Yeah.
We've just got to make sure that we're winning those games by, instead of one, two, three plus.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
I mean,
it's just staying in games, isn't it? Look, we're going to play. We've got a really, really tough running when you look at it. But the next few games are so important, like this month coming up. If we're not going to win those games, like your Coventry's and your West Brom's, then don't lose them. You know, come away from the games with something. Keep ourselves in the mix just for as long as possible and get into there, because, you know, if we beat West Brom on Saturday, make that 6 wins out of 7, 4 wins on the bounce, you know, jump up to 5th. Mentality-wise, it could do so much for the squad. And you're looking at, I mean, I really fancy us to do the double over Leicester as well, you know. The Yorkshire's been a bit of a bogey side, bogey region for them this season. Obviously, Borough leads right. Us. We've all taken points off them. So it's just, I think, the destiny's in our own hands, isn't it? We've got to... Yeah. We've just got to focus on our own game, our own results. Don't look at what, you know, don't worry about what the other teams are doing. Just focus on winning as many points as we possibly can get and getting in that top six. Because I think that once we finish in the top six, we've as good a chance as anybody in that playoff position to get promoted. And I mean, you look at, I look at the mentality side of things, and you look at your Ipswich and your Southamptons and your Leeds, is that if they miss out on automatic promotion and they have to settle for the playoffs, they go into it with a negative mindset because they didn't want the playoffs. They wanted to go up automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas obviously that's what the playoffs is, what we were aiming for. So, you know, motivation wise, it's a bit different. So it's just, we've just got to just keep going, just game by game, especially the teams around us, just stay in it, take something from them, keep going.
Yeah, that's the right attitude. I mean, with the goal difference thing, I basically just think, you know, you need to focus on the results. Obviously, scoring more goals is helpful, but, you know, and it's a lot easier to watch as a fan. But I think the main thing is just try and get those results over the line. And, yeah, I think if we beat West Brom, at the moment I'm feeling like it's about, before Southampton, it was 50-50 because I think there were two places available with 14 games to go, West Brom being 1 point ahead is sort of negligible. So it's either, you know, us, West Brom, Norwich or Coventry. At the moment, it feels like maybe 55. And if we beat West Brom, you know, we're above them, we're in pole position until the end of the season in fifth. And hopefully a few more points above seventh as well. But it's probably too early to be thinking about the permutations. But 6 wins from 13 to get us to 72 points, probably going to be enough. That feels doable to me, but there'll probably be more 6 wins and then don't lose to Coventry, don't lose to West Brom, don't lose to Preston, because we've not drawn in a while. But I guess so long as we keep winning, we're not going to mind.
I think we're on the longest streak in the league without drawing. I think it's 16, 17 games or something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah,
back when 1-1 was the safe bet for a result. Yeah. Now it's 2-1.
Well, talking about draws, Alex has commented there, hopefully Swansea won't come back to haunt us. I don't know if the Swansea match will. It'll probably just be more all the draws we had earlier.
When you get to the end of the season, you can't look back on a specific result, really. You've got to look at it as 46 games.
Yeah, you'd more look at like your QPR away and games like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there's plenty of times you can look at where you might have got away with it and got a point, and times where you didn't get away with it or you were robbed in parentheses. There's always bits like that. You've got to look at it as a whole rather than as individual moments. I mean, if it's something like when Watford beat Leicester in the playoffs with the last minute counter-attack on the... That's maybe fair enough to say that moment, but when it's something that happened like 5 months earlier in a midweek match, it's a bit...
Maybe. For me, it would be just the 4 or 5 games we didn't win at home earlier in the year, due with Plymouth, Coventry, Leeds, the other one, Bristol. For me, it would be just sort of not pulling away when we were in better form, but anything could happen.
At home.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have lost that game.
Last few minutes.
It could honestly well be conceding 95th minute to Norwich on the first day if it's them who pip us to sixth.
I was talking about this all the way last night when I was watching the game, and we were mentioning about how the referees have changed. You remember when they started the season and they were adding on like shed loads of time for time wasting, and they were giving instant yellows for any kind of dissent and for crowding the ref and for doing anything that wasted time in terms of like moving the ball away, something like that. They've stopped doing that. And realistically, if you're going to bring in rule changes in a season, it should stay for the full season. And then if you want to change it next year, because we lost that game at Norwich literally in like the 111th, 12th minute or something like that. And because they've stopped
that. I'm not bothered about the time. It's the fact it wasn't a corner.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, there is that. Obviously, it was a glaring error. But the point being that now they don't add on that amount of time. So like if they were sticking to what they're doing currently, we'd have never conceded in that time because the game would have finished.
Mm. And it's unfair that, I mean, I said a few weeks ago or the last episode, even though you play a team twice in a season, you don't really play the exact same team. If we were playing, I mean, we played Huddersfield after they'd just gone on a better run of form with a manager, whereas when we played Darren Moore, the same squad, pretty much exactly the same 11 or maybe 8 or 9 players, but completely different match.
Yeah, the most recent one actually tried to play football.
And they at the MKM. They did not.
Joe Edwards has been sacked by Millwall today, hasn't he?
Yep. And obviously well, Michael Beale got matching orders the other day too.
That Michael Beale stuff of that whole Twitter account stuff, that's so weird.
See, yeah, that was
Millwall brought Neil Harris back as well.
Yeah,
This season, it's really weird. I don't know if it's ever happened before, but Neil Harris has managed in League Two, League One, and the Championship in the same season.
I would be so annoyed if I was a Cambridge United fan because they're doing okay. All the way doing okay under Neil Harris, and now he's gone. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, best wishes to Tony Mowbray, who's been taken ill at the moment, but that does mean we are going to play Birmingham with four different managers this season, yeah, which is crazy. An interesting fact. No, it can't have, because it's rare you play a replay. It's a rare sort of
situation for it to happen, yeah, because they haven't sacked Mowbray, he's had to go away on leave.
Mm. Yeah, because it would be rare that you get an FA Cup replay against a team in your own division to begin with, and yeah, then to sack two managers is not that rare, but... And then, of course, caretaker and then a different caretaker. So
I mean, you could play a team. You could technically play a team six times if you got them in the League Cup semi-finals as well.
But that's if you were a League Two team, could you play them nine times?
Championship clubs.
But if you were a League Two team, you'd get the semi-finals. Or was it just one leg for the Papa John's? You could play them in the group stage. You could play a team eight times in a season, I think. I think that would work. And then if you were a League Two team in Europe, you could play them about 12 times.
Too far now.
I feel like we've gone on a tangent then.
Yeah. That's the football city being very, 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 very
good.
Very
result. Good. Easy 3 points. Someone's commented... Well, I feel like if we don't go up this season, we've got a very good chance at having another push, maybe just slightly higher up the season next year. So, the club is in a very strong position at the moment. Lee's commented in, start with the same team as last night. I think that's tempting, but we played that way specifically because of the way Southampton play. West Brom at home, different sort of game. Maybe you want a more physical presence up front. And I think Morton, if he's fit, Slater's played well, but Morton's so good, he's got to be alongside Seri. But Will
harsh on two fans have dropped him as well.
It's harsh on everyone at the moment, but it's a team game. Joe, what would you do with the lineup then?
Now I see that if it ain't broke, don't fix it argument. But you look at the team that West Brom played last night against Plymouth, and at the back they had their two centre halves, Cedric Kiepra and Eric Peters, with Semi Ajayi coming off the bench. I don't think Abdush will be able to physically compete with those two. I don't think Billy Sharp will be able to either. Although he might be able to physically, but not in terms of pace and stuff like that. And we saw what happened with him up against Shane Duffy, who it could be argued is a similar sort of player in terms of height, big presence, that kind of thing. So I think it's got to be either Ohio or Connolly up there. And then Morton's got to come back in, but can you drop Slater? There's two fan as well. The midfield is just a headache, and I'd rather not think about. I'm glad I'm not in Liam Rossini's position, having to pick pick two of Seri, Slater, Morton, Tufan to go alongside one of Carvalho or Irma. It's a great problem to have, but it's such a headache for him. But that's why he's paid the money to choose, I suppose.
Yeah, he'll say it's a good headache to have, though. Will, what changes would you make, if any?
I mean, I personally, based on the first, I won't make any changes if they're all fit enough to play. Because I want us to play like that, hopefully, for the rest of the season, really. I want to be playing at least in the first half. So I wouldn't make any changes. Which I maybe harsh with Glenn Morton, but Seri played so well and Slater played so well. I don't think you can justify dropping either of them. I don't think you can justify dropping any of that attack. And I don't think you can justify dropping any of that defence.
Yeah, fair enough. Ant, would you make any changes or you're going to go with Will?
I mean, we all say don't change a winning team in that, but obviously you changed it from Huddersfield to this one and won again. So he's picking teams based on the opposition, which I think is the best way to approach every game. Depending obviously what the opposition offers, he knew that Southampton were going to try and dominate possession and we needed players that were going to be mobile, good on the ball, technically good, good at those little interplayer passes on the edge of the box as well to keep possession. Like, he's obviously gone for Omer and Cavalier to that instead of Ahayo, who's probably more of a physical presence if we wanted to go long. So I'd be tempted to just play the same team, with it being at home against a similar side, West Brom, like us and Southampton, in the case of they want to keep the ball and play out from the back and whatnot. But I think we matched them at their ground too, and we were unlucky to come away. I think 3-1 really flattered West Brom that day. So with home advantages time round, I'd be tempted to put a striker on just with us being at home and needing to score more goals. But like I say, I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be unhappy if he played the same 11.
I think I might just be a coward again and say that I'm happy to go with what Rossini chooses, because I think, you know, not playing a striker against Southampton worked. He's a manager. The only player that I would maybe think to bring in, because Joey has talked about the physicality needed up front with Ajayi and Peters and Kipre, would be Ahayo. But if Ahayo's not in the squad, not even on the bench against Southampton on the Tuesday, I'm not sure if Senior's then going to go and choose him on the Saturday to start in a big game.
I think he's more likely to be on the bench on Saturday because he wasn't on the bench on Tuesday, personally.
Perhaps, because it is a different game. But yeah, the only change I would ever consider making would be, I'd want him to be able to play, but I just think the whole thing was that it's going to take him quite a while to get used to it. I just think
he's quite used to it a lot quicker than this, anyway.
Well, yeah, but I just think fitness-wise, is he going to be able to play, another hour after playing on the Tuesday night? I don't know. You don't want to force him to play him and get him injured like we've had a few other signings come in and do that. So maybe Toufan, because he's sort of bigger physical presence than Emer, but not Ahayo. But yeah, Ahayo being on the bench, I wouldn't be surprised at. But I just hope we win the game. Don't care what happens. Hope we win the game.
Move 1-0 and you're off someone's ass. That's fine by me.
That'd be great. That'd be great, pretty much. So I know we did our predictions for the West Brom game before the Southampton game, but it might have changed our minds. So as the host, I'm going to be generous. And I'm going to, use the power of me being the mega, ultra, supreme lord host or whatever. We'll start with Joe. Do you want to change your prediction for the West Brom game?
I can't remember what my prediction was.
Just do a new one.
Again, then, yeah.
Two 1 again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to City.
Yes, of course. Do you want goal scorers?
Oh, go on. Treat us.
Why not?
Allsop break. No, I'm kidding. We'll go for Philogene and Carvalho.
Oh, bold choices.
I know.
Bold choices.
Same scoreline as the last three and two who scored in them.
Yeah. Ant, you weren't on the last episode, so prediction?
It's going to be a really close game. I really fancy us to win. Just with that Southampton win, I think it's put a bit of wind in our sails, so I'm going to go. We just can't seem to keep a clean sheet. I'm going to go for the same score as the last three games and us to win 2-1.
Yeah. Goal scorers, Ant?
For
the Gene and who?
He didn't score against Southampton.
I'm gonna go left field. I'm gonna go Giles to get one. And
ooh, I like that.
Giles and Philogenia.
Yeah, he only got an assist against Southampton, so he's got to get back to the goals.
Yeah, he's due a goal, isn't he?
Will, I mean, I'm giving you the chance to change, but I know you won't.
I mean, if I was going to change it, I'd only be increasing the score. So, no, I'll stick with the classic 3-0 that I've bored everyone with up to this point.
Do you want to go goal scorers? Philogene, yeah, and who?
I don't think Philogene's going to score, actually. I'll go against the grain, just because everyone else has said it. No, I think... Alfie Jones is going to bang one in from a corner that's poorly taken. I think I'm hoping if he is fit and he does start, Amer finally gets the goal. His performances are so far deserved. That'd be very, very nice. And Carvalho.
Nice. Sounds good. Sounds good. Neil Ruiz says Hull 2-1 Amer and Morton. Liam Smith says 2-0 Hull. I mean, I'm liking all the wins. I mean, yeah, I think I'm not going to change my prediction. I'm defensively still not sure, but we might get some goals. So I'll go 2-1 as well. And I'm going to go, of course, Philogene. And yeah, I mean, Philogene and Amer sounds good. I like the sound of that. I think... I might go Philogene and Zaruri, though, because I think Zaruri plays for Burnley. I'm thinking of Aston Villa. The Aston Villa.
You're not close at all. You just see.
But that's Clara, enough of a reason.
The colour of Clara, and you thought, oh, they must be one of those.
Is that Scunthorpe? Yeah.
There's plenty of teams that
wear that. Zaruri and Amer, two Philogene assists. That's what I'll go for.
I would say as well, I think if City, obviously we're all predicting a win, but if City say drew, I don't think that would be anywhere near the end of the world. It'd be a fantastic result as well. So maybe you've gone into this week asking, against Southampton and West Brom for a win and a draw, you'd have taken it. You'd have taken 4 points from those two games.
Of course. Yep. Doesn't matter which way.
You'd have probably expected it if you was going to guess to come the other way around if it was to happen. A draw at Southampton and a win against West Brom.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'd still be 1 point behind fifth and we'd still be sixth. Can't complain about that with 12 games to go after that. So, yeah.
As a way, Nathaniel, you could have done your Aston Villa West Brom link with Philogene.
Ruin his heart now. Don't break it now. He's so
I
young.
Could have done that. I could have done that. Okay, Philogene and Zaruri. Does that work?
Not a bad guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think like two of the four attackers will score.
I was tempted for Morton to as a goal scorer because I feel like he's due a goal as well.
You know what I would love to see personally as well, not just a Mer, because it's his first game back since the African Cup of Nations. If Seri somehow managed to score, finally score a goal that didn't deflect wildly into the air on his debut, if he just scored an actual goal. Be very nice on his return.
I'd like it if he scored a goal that deflected miles up into the air and went in. They'll count.
Nah.
I'd just like him to not put a shot from 20 yards into row Z, to be honest with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Hit the target at least, John.
Anytime he gets near the box, he thinks he's playing rugby. Like it's horrendous.
It's funny whenever he gets near the box of the ball and everyone shouts shoot. As if we haven't been shown up to this point that whenever he shoots, it goes nowhere near the goal.
Like, he's a great player.
You just
player,
know that one time he'll do it. One time he'll do it and it'll ping right in the top corner.
He is a great player, but he is genuinely awful at shooting and I hope he doesn't. Like, everyone else is saying shoot. No.
I said it watching the game last night. I went, oh, go on, have a dig. When Seri brought the ball down and then said to my dad, actually, it's Seri, no, don't. And then he immediately
one of the worst strikers of a ball I've ever seen. But it's so funny.
He's the anti-Robert Corran. He's the opposite.
I will always shout shoot. If he's in and around the box, because like Will said, one time it's going to arrow into the top corner like an absolute laser beam and we'll love it.
How can he be so just class on the ball?
Because he's finesse. Seri's game is all about precision and accuracy. So with Seri, it's nice, calm, caressed passes. So if he tried to sort of pass it to the top corner, he'd probably score. But when he gets in that position, he decides to try and rifle it with his laces. And that's clearly not his style.
Curl it into the top corner.
He needs to get onto a corner of a box and just try and literally just whip it into the far corner like he was crossing or passing the ball. And he'd probably score.
Yeah, quite right. Quite right. Do we have anything else to mention about the West Brom game? Or shall we, you know, just like the 3 points we had in Southampton, wrap it up?
As Lee Walker said on the comments, it needs to be a sellout. Again, it's on Sky, and people are like, oh, it's on Sky, so I'll watch it. No, go and watch the game in the stadium. It's just an infinitely better experience. It support the team. I mean, it was a decent turnout that went down to the game last night. Fair play to them all, and we went on a stupidly long journey. It's not even the longest I'll do this season.
Will, how much did you pay David?
20 quid.
And the context is that David's just commented in a lovely comment about how knowledgeable we are. So I imagine that's where the bribe. Bribes have come in.
Get away from Will. It wasn't all of us.
I got let Will have his moment at work today. Someone said I did a good job.
I don't get much in this world. And then you young people turn up and try to take it from us. Unbelievable. Bloody snuff.
Well, before the elder abuse persists, Will and Joe, thanks for coming on. Another solid podcast, and looking forward to another three delicious 3 points on Saturday. And then celebrating it as it's my birthday on Sunday. So send me lots of extra abuse on Sunday via email and text and tweets and Snapchat and all the lovely stuff you do interacting with the podcast.
You'll finally be able to buy an energy drink from the shop then, will you?
I will. I will finally be able to buy an energy drink, but I won't, because energy drinks, you know, all that sugar is really bad for you. Off this Coca-Cola and Mauram sort of pinball sweets. Don't go any near.
The funniest thing about energy drinks is that Will's older than me.
What?
Not Will. Nathaniel. Oh my God, my brain don't work.
We're all sat here and just completely confused with
Shocking. We can do that. But yeah, we'll see you on Sunday night. So thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.